What's up, Rock Church? Good to see everybody. God bless you. Welcome all of our campuses. If you're just coming in the room or maybe just joining us online or perhaps you're watching at a later day, welcome. My name is Travis. I'm one of the pastors that gets the privilege of serving here with our church on our leadership team, and just want to say hello. If it's your first time, if you're a guest, you're here in Point Loma, all of our locations, let's just welcome one another. Why don't you clap your hands? Say hello, church. Come on. This is the Lord's day. It's going to be a good day. Also, I want to shout out in Oahu, I want to say hello to Josh and Kealoha. Y'all used to be here in Point Loma. You've been with Pastor Miles in the Rock Church, I think for like 25 years, just moved to Oahu. And so shout out to our family. Isn't that cool? We got family. They're not on vacation. They moved there. That's where they're at. They're in Hawaii. So, hey, God bless you guys. Let's clap our hands one more time. Just say hello. It's great. Before I talk about what's happening today, just a couple things. We have an anniversary Sunday happening in a few weeks from now on the 23rd. Last week, Pastor, it's our 25th anniversary as a church. Isn't that cool? I mean, 25 years. Incredible. Last week, Pastor told all of our campuses, everybody joining us, that we've been growing. And just in the past month, we've seen an increase upwards of around 3,000 people spread out across our locations. And just here in Point Loma, an additional 2,000 people in just a month. I mean, the people of God are hungry for Jesus, and we want to make some room for them. Amen. So here's what that means for everybody, especially here in Point Loma. We're going to be adding a service where I'm standing on the anniversary Sunday. And we did a survey last week and said, hey, what times would be best? And so thank you for your feedback, and our team prayed, and Pastor got together with the leadership team. And so here in Point Loma on the 23rd, which is our anniversary, we're going to be moving to 8 o'clock, 10 o'clock, and 12 o'clock. Okay, we're adding a third service. Come on, make it loud, make it loud. Hallelujah. People are like, which one do you want to go to? Where are you going, all right? Because everyone's got to move now in this room. Your campus pastor and your host pastor at our other locations, they're going to unpack what that means for you after your services. But just know that we're growing, and we'll handle that growth at the campuses as needed. But I think that's exciting. So anniversary Sunday here in Point Loma, going to three services, 8, 10, and 12. Today, though, we're starting a new collection of messages or message series entitled Situationships. I know, right? It's just like, what? It's half of you are like, uh-oh, and half of you are like, I got to Google it right now. I have no idea what that is. Situationships. A situationship, we can put it up on the screen. I wrote this. This is a situationship is an undefined and unclear romantic connection that lacks boundaries, commitment, and God. And so it's not a relationship. It's not a commitment. It's absolutely not a covenant with God at the center. By the world's standards, it's a situationship. It's just messy. There's no boundaries. There's no expectations. There's no commitment. God is not in it. But we think when it comes to relationships that God offers a better way. And so over the next 3 weeks, we're going to unpack dating God's way. That's next week. We're going to unpack marriage God's way. And Pastor Miles and his wife Debbie are going to be interviewed by our marriage pastor. Can't wait for that. You're going to want to make it for that. They got stories they've never told before. Come on, somebody. I can't wait. I'm going to be in the front row like this, taking notes. But today, I want to talk to you about singleness God's way. All the single people, make some noise. All the people that should be single, make some noise. No. Don't do that. Put your hand down, girl. Put your hand down. I want to pray for us. We need prayer over this topic of singleness God's way. Would you bow your heads with me at all of our locations? Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. It's your day. We've come to your house. We want to be filled with your wisdom and overwhelmed by your love, your grace, your mercy, your forgiveness. Lord, help me to teach on this topic of singleness, doing it your way, and help the hearts of those that will be learning about what this looks like. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody shout amen. Amen. We just got done with 21 days of prayer and fasting. How many enjoyed the fast? Awesome. How many enjoyed the fast ending? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we were coming off last week, and if you're brand new, every year, for as long as I can remember as a church, we commit the first 21 days of our a year to prayer and fasting, and we just ended that last week. And so coming off the fast and kind of, you know, feeling kind of tight, you know what I mean? And I want to incorporate some snacks back in the diet, and instead of like Cheeto Puffs and all those things, I thought, let me get some trail mix. And so that next day, here comes Monday, I got some trail mix, and I open up the, anybody like trail mix? You guys like trail mix? Yeah, a few people, yeah, trail mix. And I'm super down, because it's got, it says right here, peanuts, cashews, almonds, M&Ms, say less, I'm all in at this point, right? And then it hits you with raisins, ooh. Mm. And so I kind of just put up with the raisins, if I'm just being honest with you. You get it, you kind of grab it, and the raisins are there, and you throw it all in, and it works. But what I did was I opened up the bag, and I noticed, not in this bag, but the one I had these biblical-sized raisins. I mean, you know what I mean? Like David didn't kill Goliath with a stone. He killed him with one of these raisins. He just bow right in his head. And so I took these raisins. I just started throwing them out. I'm like, oh, Lord, no, this is not from you. This is not from you. And I'm like, there we go. I got me a good little hand. How many, you just got to get the little hand, right? You kind of jiggle like this, right? Little hand. And then if you're like me, maybe I'm a little OCD. I need two almonds, two peanuts, one cashew, because they're huge. You know what I mean? And maybe two M&Ms. And I just right here and I hit it. And I realize, you know why I love it? Because I just made a bag of peanut M&Ms. That's what I just did. I just made a bag of peanut M&Ms. I just threw out the raisins. And here's what I did. I just took something that was created and made to be consumed a very specific type of way, and I threw out the things I didn't like. Can I just challenge you that I think that's what a lot of us do in relationships? Is we take the topics of love and sex and dating and marriage, and we take the very thing that God created to be consumed and enjoyed a very specific way, and we just throw out God. And we throw out God's wisdom. We throw out God's principles, and I think God offers a better way. And I want to take you to Proverbs chapter 7 today, if you got your word with you, got your scriptures with you. Proverbs is in the Old Testament. It's written by mostly a man named Solomon. He was the king. He was David's son. He was the wealthiest king ever to live, wisest man ever to live. And he writes in Proverbs 7 encouragement and wisdom to his son, or to his sons. But as we read this today, if you're a daughter, if you're a girl, if you're a young man or a young woman, or if you're a middle-aged or older person, this is for everybody. I think we can learn from everything that Solomon's giving us today. But here's his wisdom regarding relationships. In Proverbs 7, verse 1, it starts and says, "Follow my advice, my son. Always treasure my commands. Obey my commands and what? And live." You want to live, you can do what I say. Guard my instructions as you guard your own eyes. Tie them on your fingers as a reminder. Write them deep down within your heart. Love wisdom like a sister. Make insight a beloved member of your family. Let them protect you from an affair with an immoral woman or immoral man, from listening to flattery or a promiscuous woman. Uh-oh. And then he goes down and he tells a story. He said, I want you to hold tight to my instruction. Do what I say. Love wisdom. When you do, it leads to life. But then he tells a story that leads to death. It's a story that I would like to say is situationship. This is how it picks up. It says, "While I was at the window of my house looking through the curtain, I saw some naive young men, and one in particular who lacked common sense. He was crossing the street near the house of an immoral woman, strolling down the path by her house. It was at twilight in the evening, as deep darkness fell. The woman approached him, seductively dressed and sly of heart. She was the brash, rebellious type, never content to stay at home. Always out, you know what I mean? Always out. She's often in the streets and markets, soliciting at every corner. She threw her arms around him and kissed him. Mwah! With a brazen look, she said, 'I just made my peace offerings and fulfilled my vows. You're the one I was looking for. You're the one that I want.' On the streets, just singing to this poor kid. Come here, you. Just giving him the eyes. You know what smize is? Giving him the smiling with your eyes. Just like, just giving him smize. This poor kid had no chance. She threw his arms around him, kissed him. Mwah! With a brazen look, she said, 'I just made my peace offerings, fulfilled my vows. You're the one I was looking for. I came out to find you, and here you are. My bed is spread with beautiful blankets.'" Uh-oh. with colored sheets of Egyptian linen. That's that Egyptian 400 count thread, you know what I mean? It's that 400 count. I perfumed my bed with myrrh and aloes and cinnamon. I just had this thought of like a Cinnabon. You know, you hit the mall and it's just like, is that the bed? That is ridiculous. Oh, can't resist you, girl. Smells like Cinnabon up in here. My goodness. She says, come, let's drink our fill of love until morning. Let's enjoy each other's caresses, for my husband's not home. Oh my gosh. He's away on a long trip. He's taken a wallet full of money with him and won't return until later this month. So she seduced him with her pretty speech and enticed him with her flattery. He followed her at once like an ox going to slaughter. He was like a stag caught in the trap, awaiting the arrow that would pierce his heart. He was like a bird flying into a snare, little knowing it would cost him his life. So listen to me, my sons. Listen up, Rock Church. And pay attention to my words. Don't let your heart stray away toward him, toward her. Don't wander down that wayward path, for she has been the ruin of many. And how many know he has been the ruin of many? Many men have been her victims, and many women have been his victims. Her house is the road to the grave. Her bedroom is the den of death. This is a situationship, if I've ever seen one. And situationships don't lead to life. Solomon writes to his son, they lead to death. And so I just wrote down a few types of people that often find themselves falling into situationships. So don't be mad at me, but I hope maybe this encourages you, or maybe you go, uh-oh, that's me. That's me. So here's the first one. The first person that finds himself in a situationship is the foolish person. We read that in the story. They lack wisdom. They don't know any better. They're out here just like, I just thought we all dated five people at the same time. That's not what we're doing. We all just kind of hanging out with everybody. I thought we're all, you're on all the dating apps too? I'm on 10 of them. How many profiles you got? I don't know any better. I just thought that's how you do it. And there's the promiscuous person. They know better, but they're driven by the flesh. Maybe they've been to church. Maybe they know God's word, but they're driven after selfish pleasure. Another person that finds themselves in situationships, the hurt person. Don't raise your hand, but you're too mad to care now. You're too bitter to even consider a real commitment. I'll just lust again. I won't love again. Number four, the desperate person finds himself in a situationship. No standards, rushes connection. Just, oh, there's a guy. Want my number? There's a guy. Need my number? There's a guy. Here's my number. You can all have my number. No standards. And then the fifth one is the broken identity person. This person lacks self-worth and gets taken advantage of, unfortunately, and they let other people decide their value. I'm in a situationship. And this may not be you, this may not be all the different types of categories, but these people found themselves and often find themselves in a romantic situation that leads to the den of death. And so my question for you is, when you think about your dating relationships or your romance lately, recently, have you found yourself feeling like you're dying inside? And if you are, may I submit to you that you may be in a relationship that doesn't honor God, and the best thing for you right now would be to honor God in singleness. Here's what Song of Songs, chapter 8, verse 4 says. It says, promise me, O women of Jerusalem, not to awaken love until the time is right. It may not be right. It may not be the time. If you're not ready, if you're still hurt, if you're not mature enough, don't start messing around with romance. Don't start dating people. Don't start making profiles. Why not? Because watch this. God desires that everyone knows who they are in Christ before they ever worry about who they're with in the world. God desires that everyone knows who they are in Christ way before they ever worry about who they're with in the world. And so can you be content with Christ first? Can I first be secure in Christ alone before I start adding other people to the mix? And so single may be, look up here, the most important season of your life. It may be the most important season. It's the training ground. It's the spiritual boot camp where God does some of his best work in you. Well, what kind of work is he gonna do in me in singleness? Well, I brought a list because there's a list of things I think we can just go ahead and just take care of these real quick. Can we put that list up? Here we go. Reasons you might still be single that God wants to work out. Number one, you don't shower. Okay, number two, you don't wear deodorant. You don't brush your teeth. You never wash your clothes. You're crusty and busty. Your lips are always chapped. You wear too much cologne. Hold on, pause right there. Okay, ladies, I'll get an amen at the end, but fellas, when you walk in, we shouldn't be able to smell you in the parking lot. What is that? What is that? Is that Harold? Yeah. He just parked in the back. We'll smell you up close. They should say, ooh, what is that? They don't want to say, ooh, what is that? You wear too much cologne, you're creepy, you live in a scary basement, you're rude, you're arrogant, you're disrespectful, you're out of shape physically, spiritually, and emotionally. Single is so important. God wants to work some things out. It may be the most important season of your life. Single is important because marriage is not a game. And if you don't get single right, you may not get dating right, and you absolutely will not get marriage right. And unfortunately, we got a lot of married people that messed around, and you threw out God's wisdom in your single season, and now you're married, but you're living single. And you're in a marriage situationship because God's not in it. And how many people know that marriage doesn't improve your single status? Marriage just exposes who you were during your single season. This isn't the answer to my single status. Marriage, when you get there, will expose who you were in your season of singleness. Vanessa and I have been together about 17 years, married about 13 years. Thank you. I'll get a few claps over here. Come on now. We first got our apartment, and we were just a couple weeks away from the wedding, and so we secured the apartment, and I lived in it first, and then when we got married, she moved in, and we kind of figured out how we're going to do it and make sure that we honor the Lord. But I remember sitting down with Vanessa, and we're applying for the apartment, and the application comes up approved, but with like a little red asterisk next to it. And I remember the guy going, uh-oh. And I was like, uh-oh. And he said, yeah, it looks like Travis has $500 of unpaid parking tickets. And if you could see Vanessa's face, like, who did I marry? Who is this man with debt that I didn't find out about? And I had to go, you know, pay these tickets, and it exposed who I was. I'm like, oh, I got to figure this out. How did that happen? We got to get singleness done the right way, God's way. The world goes so hard on sex and romance and hookup culture, even marriage, but marriage is not the prize. Jesus is the prize. And so while the world looks down, I know you got to have sex, you got to have singleness. No. In God's economy, singleness is good because singleness is from God. Singleness is from God. The Bible's perspective on singleness is that it's a blessing, it's an opportunity. It even says that singleness is a gift. Some of you are like, I don't want that gift. Don't give me that gift. Don't bring that to the gift exchange. I don't want that gift. It's a gift. So I want you to write this down. Singleness, God's way, doesn't make you wrong, weird, or weak. It just means you're strong enough and wise enough to wait on His best. That's what singleness, God's way, looks like. Singleness, God's way, doesn't make you wrong. Like, is something wrong with me? Like, is that why you can't get somebody? Is there something weird, bro? Why aren't you out there chasing after people? It's so weird. It's not weird. It's probably because you're weak. Like, you ain't got no game. Is that it? No. Singleness, God's way, doesn't make you wrong, weird, or weak. It just means you're strong enough and wise enough to wait on His best. So here's how you do singleness, God's way. Number one, I'm called to single. That's God's assignment. God's placed an assignment on you. This could be a short season. It could be a long period. It could be a lifetime. Either way, God needs you single for a reason. And you may be desiring a relationship, but you just feel called to singleness. You feel called to it because there's a great assignment on your life. And I think the best examples are maybe Jesus and also the prophet Jeremiah and John chapter 2, verse 12. This is about Jesus. After this, he went down to Capernaum with his mother and his brothers and his disciples. They stayed there for a few days. Notice who was not mentioned, his wife. And you see this all throughout Scripture. Jesus went with his friends. Jesus goes with his disciples. He goes with his mother and his father. Jesus goes with his mother, his family, but the wife's not mentioned. And most theologians would agree, Jesus was single. And here's how I think. This isn't in God's word. Here's how I think we know Jesus was single, or excuse me, and not married, because all the married people know it is impossible to not sin and be married. Come on, somebody. Like all the mental conversation. I just imagine Jesus if he had a girl. He had a wife, and she's out there trying to tell him where to park the camel. He's like, this girl's out here trying to tell him where to park this camel. I'm the savior of the world. Out here trying to be pure, Lord, Father, trying not to sin, but this girl's got me tripping. There's no way. Jesus had an assignment, save the world. Jeremiah 16, verse 1 through 2. The Lord gave me another message. He said, do not get married or have children in this place. Jeremiah was a prophet to the nations. He was calling them to repentance, calling them away from sin. And so you may be called to singleness because God has put an assignment on your life. And like Jeremiah, your singleness could be a prophetic ministry that will demonstrate great sacrifice and obedience to God. I'm just called to it. I don't know that I desire it, but I'm called to it. This past Toys for Joy was one of the largest outreach events in all of San Diego, and we go and give away toys, and we give away clothes, and we feed people in San Diego. This last event in December, we had all the groups setting up the day of, the morning of, and so there you got safety with their walkie-talkies, and the worship team on the stage, and the choir, and then the toy room was where everybody wants to be. And then there was this group that I was walking through the parking lot as we're all getting set up, this little circle of people holding trash picker-uppers. Anybody see those little long scissor things you pick up trash? Everyone's all hyped and high-fiving, and then there's the trash picker-uppers in the middle. And I looked at them, I said, I'm about to go gas them up right now. Because I know no one wants to be the trash picker-uppers. No one goes, I don't need the toy room, I want to pick up the trash. And I went up to them, I said, can I just tell you guys how incredible this ministry is? I just tell you how important this ministry is. If Jesus were here, I don't think Jesus would be singing on the worship team. If Jesus were here, I don't know that he would be the one giving the message even. I don't know if Jesus would be with the walkie-talkie and checking the bags or in the toy room handing out toys. I think if Jesus were at Toys for Joy, he would be in this circle picking up trash with all of you. Because he's doing the hard work, the servant work. Because there's an assignment on this one. And some of us, I don't know if I would pick this thing, but God has just called me to this season of singleness because there's an assignment on your life. I want you to imagine, is it possible that the reason that you are single right now or considering single is because God has placed such a great and mighty supernatural assignment on your life? It's so great that he needs your full attention. It's so big, it's so creative, it's so far out there that I can't have you with somebody, it's too great. I need your full attention. Singleness that way doesn't make you wrong, it doesn't make you weird, it doesn't make you weak, it means that you're strong enough, you're wise enough to wait on God's best, and his best may be that business, it may be that dream, it may be a citywide ministry, but it's his best and he's called you to it. And so singleness God's way, maybe I'm called to single, he assigned it to me. Here's the second way we do singleness God's way. I'm choosing single. That means it was my decision. Maybe I need to heal, I need to grow, I need to reset. I don't need passion. Come on, somebody. I need peace in my life. I need a break from those dudes. These guys are tripping. I don't need passion, I need peace. I'm choosing single. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. It says, run from anything that stimulates youthful lust. That's a situationship. Run from that bedroom of death. Instead, come on, pursue righteous living, faithfulness and love and peace. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. And so the author is writing and says, take a break from dating. Go hang out with some good friends. Like, run away from this stuff. I want you to choose it. And so take a break. I don't need more dating apps. I don't need more physical intimacy. The only boyfriend you need right now is Jesus. I need his love in my life. I'm choosing single. Maybe the best example is the Apostle Paul. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 6, Paul writes this. He says, I say this as a concession, not a command, so consider it. But I wish everyone were single just as I am. Yet each person has a special gift from God of one kind or another. There he is talking about it. It's a gift again. So I say to those who aren't married and to widows, it's better to stay unmarried just as I am. So this is a man who is convinced, hey guys, look at, single's better. Single's better, right? And I know I'm a married person. All the married people, you probably agree. I remember single wasn't that bad. Like, sometimes single's pretty sweet. Vanessa asks me a lot of times, she goes, babe, we'll be in the kitchen and she's helping me fix something. And she goes, babe, what would you do without me? And I'm just, I don't know what I'd do. I can't live without you. I couldn't live. I don't know what I'd do. But the other day she asked me, babe, what would you do without me? And I was like, well, if I'm honest, I'd probably have way more gas money. I'd probably sleep in a little bit longer most days. I'd probably eat pizza like at least 3 times a week. I'd play more golf with the guys for sure. You know, if I'm being honest, I'm like thinking about reminiscing to the single days. Like, man, single wasn't that bad. Single wasn't that bad. Choosing single can be a gift. I'm up here just in my own dreams. Like, man, that was pretty good. It was. Choosing single can be a gift, though. It can be a gift to yourself. It may not be the type that you wanted, but it may be the type of gift that makes you healthy, makes you holy, and makes you whole and complete. As a leader, I often go away to other churches, and I'll take the family, and we'll go visit different, you know, pastors I know or different churches, and we'll just kind of come in, and we don't make a big fuss. We're not there to just, like, you know, pray for people or, hey, I preach too. None of that stuff. No, I just kind of go in and we'll sit there and we'll just receive and we'll be filled. And I'll let someone preach over my life. And here's what I know. If I want to be a great leader, I have to learn how to sit under someone else's leadership. And if you someday want to be able to give love to somebody, you first have to sit under the person who gives the greatest type of love. I got to sit and I got to be healed and selfishly go, no, I'm choosing singleness. So I may not be called to it. There's no assignment on me that I need to go after. But I just think based on what I've been through, I need to choose it. I gotta sit in it. I gotta just enjoy the love and the forgiveness and the mercy of God. He's doing something in me. I wanna be able to give love, and so selfishly, I gotta receive the greatest love. So single God's way means even if I'm not called to it, I might choose it because I know I need it. And so singleness God's way is I'm called to it. It's God's assignment. Singleness God's way is I'm choosing single. It's my decision. And then number three is I'm waiting single. I'm waiting single. This may be a lot of people in the room today at all of our campuses. And this just means I'm content, but man, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm good single, but I'm ready when God's ready because I've done the preparation work. And if you're wondering, what's the preparation work? Well, my identity is now in Christ. I have a vision for my preferred future about what my future boyfriend, girlfriend, fiance, husband would look like. I've done that type of work. I've written down the expectations. I've unpacked my old baggage, and I've committed my future to God in prayer. And so I've done the preparation work. God, I'm not called to it, Lord. I know that. Lord, I'm not choosing it. Maybe at one time I did, but now, Lord, I'm waiting single. I love the story of Ruth and the book of Ruth, chapter 3, and this woman, Ruth, she's faithful to God. She's faithful to her mother-in-law, and both of their husbands have died. And Naomi, her mother-in-law, says, I want you to go back to where you grew up and go find a new husband. And she says, no, I just want to be faithful to your God and faithful to the God of Israel. I want to go with you. And so Ruth goes, and she just waits as a single person. And then the story goes on that one day the time was right, and this is where it picks up in verse 1. One day Naomi said to Ruth, my daughter, it's time. It's time that I found a permanent home for you so that you will be provided for. Boaz is a close relative of ours, and he's been very kind by letting you gather grain with his young women. Tonight he will be winnowing barley at the threshing floor. Now do as I tell you. Take a bath, put on perfume, and dress in your nicest clothes. Come on, somebody. Then go to the threshing floor. But don't let Boaz see you until he has finished eating and drinking. Naomi tells Ruth, it is time, girlfriend, it is time. You've been faithful. You've been waiting. You've been honoring God. You did the preparation work. There's no baggage from that last relationship that you were mourning. You've been sitting with me. You honored the Lord as you honored me. And now I'm telling you, you've been waiting single, but now it is time. Psalm 130, verse 5 says, I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits. And in his word, I put my hope. I wait for the Lord. I wait on the Lord. I wait with the Lord. I'm waiting single, but not alone. Because the Lord is with me. And when I learned to do singleness God's way, I understand that, man, it's the world's got their way. It's all messed up. The single God's way doesn't mean that I'm wrong. It doesn't mean that I'm weird. It doesn't mean that I'm weak. It just means that I'm strong enough and I'm wise enough to wait on God's best. And God's best may be that in this season you're called to it because he's got an assignment for you. He's got an opportunity for you, and he needs your full attention. Others of you, it may be that you're choosing it because you know what you've been through was so bad and so rough and so hurtful, so abusive, so toxic, that you know what, I gotta choose it, Lord. I gotta choose it. I need healing. You just need to sit under your covering, sit in your love. And somebody else is going, Lord, I've done the work. I'm waiting single because I'm ready, but I'm gonna wait on you. There's a picture of Vanessa and I on our first date. It's our very first date right there. Come on now. So, I posted it on Instagram. I posted that on Instagram this week, and someone said, all white is pretty confident, brother, all white. We got married in all white. We weren't sending messages or anything. We showed up in. And I went as big as I could go back then. And so some of you heard the story. We went to a restaurant called Fleming's, if you're not in the area, which is, you know, this is like 2007. So we went to Fleming's, this kind of nice steakhouse, and then went to the John Legend concert, had a great time, great night. And we were just, oh man, I'm talking about head over heels, especially for her. You know what I mean? Just infatuated with each other. But we were in ministry and we were leaders. But the moment that we got together with each other, it was like we gave everybody else the Heisman. Leadership, friends, family. I'm just obsessed with this. This is amazing. We had some great people in our lives that pulled us aside and said, Travis, Vanessa, we believe that God has put a calling on your life. And he's stirring something up in you. But because you've got this new relationship, it almost looks like you've just push God away. Can we challenge you that you're called to a season of singleness? Nope. We fought it. We wrestled through it. We talked about it. We prayed over it. And we said, okay. So months went by. And it wasn't, hey, let's just hang out, be friends. It was, no, we didn't talk to each other. Because I'm called to something great, and I know God's doing something, and he's building something inside of me. And then eventually, when it was the right time, we came back together and we started dating again. And then as we dated, often dating is like pieces of glass cutting each other, you know what I mean? Like, man, all the rough edges are trying to get worked out. And we realized, man, I think we need to choose a time of singleness because you got to work some things out. Lord knows I got to work some things out in me. I didn't know all this was going to come out. We started dating each other, and so we chose to be single. Let's just get with God. She got with God, I got with God. We got some great people in our lives that can encourage us. And then eventually when the time was right, we came back and we realized, man, we did the work. We did the preparation work of waiting single, and the time was right and God blessed it. Here's what I learned, because I'd never change it, even though those moments were hard. There were some days that I didn't like, some days I didn't understand, some days I thought, this is wrong, they're wrong, this is weird. I got someone right there. Why should I choose? Why does God want me single? I just feel kind of weak. I got other people out here, my boys from work, kind of making fun of me. We're talking about you're choosing single. What does that mean? I realize, here's what I learned. Singleness God's way does not make me wrong. It does not make me weird. It does not make me weak. It just means that I was strong enough and wise enough to wait on God's best. Today, God has it for somebody. I want to challenge you to commit your singleness to God. Do it his way. I want to pray for you. Would you bow your heads? Let's close our eyes. Jesus, there's somebody in the room right now that needs to say, I surrender my relationship status to you. I don't want to be in a situationship. I want to do it your way. I want to do love and sex and dating and marriage. I want to do it all your way, Lord. But there are some people that have been single and fighting it. But Lord, today I pray they commit it to you. And Lord, I also know there are people in here that need to choose it. And they're in something that is not honoring you. And the best thing they can do today is to commit a time period of singleness to you, Lord, and do singleness your way. So we do that right now. We surrender it to you. Heads bowed, eyes closed. And if you need to give your life to Jesus today, not just your singleness, but your life to the Lord, I want you to pray this prayer in the quiet of your heart. Just say, dear God, I admit that I've fallen short. I admit that I'm a sinner. I've messed up my past. I've messed up relationships before. But I surrender all of it to you right now. All of my dating, all of my singleness, all of my marriage, all of my life, everything I have is yours. I surrender and I commit it to you. And if you need Jesus to come into your life for the first time or recommit your life to him, just say, dear God, come into my life. I believe you love me. I believe you saved me. I confess you now as Lord over all things. I love you. As your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, if you prayed that prayer on the count of three, I just want you to lift your hand so we can see you nice and high, nice and bold. If you prayed that prayer to choose Jesus today, surrender all things to him on the count of three. One, two, three. Lift your hand up nice and high. Awesome. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Awesome. You can put them down. Lord, thank you for every hand, every person, every soul that said, Lord, I'm surrendering singleness to you. I'm giving you my relationships. I'm giving you my life. Holy Spirit, fill them up. Make us all more like Jesus. May we do life your way. May we do singleness your way. All of our relationships your way. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen, amen.